Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Shortlist.
I'm not saying that Senator Manchin intentionally wants to hurt people.
If you're using this as a religious argument, the Bible is about choice.
He's in cycle. I hate to say this, but I like it.
And we did a lot of it, but nobody knew the deep state was that deep.
Well, maybe a few of us. Anyway, hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad you're here however you got here, whether you're on Facebook Live this morning. You can always go to the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook and join the conversation. The Odyssey app, which makes it easy to listen no matter where you go, on the radio, on the website, 971talk.com. We're just glad you chose to make us part of your morning. And remember, you can also download the podcast there. A little later in the day, wherever you get your podcasts, we break the show up into podcasts and we make it easy for you. Anyway, glad you're with us. I got Robin Walensky in with us today. You heard her there handling the news. If you're just joining us at the top of the hour, and Robin is a longtime news anchor and reporter, radio, television, just a load of experience all over the country. And Robin, great having you on this morning.
Mark, it's been so much fun. And, you know, it's fun to hear Dave Anthony at Fox News at the top of the hour. I worked with Dave for years when Fox News Radio first started.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, 2005.
Wow.
I was a national correspondent and anchor, and he was always the morning anchor. So I would do, you know, national reports on his show. So I kind of covered all the dead blondes, if you will.
Yeah.
I did, you know, Natalie Holloway, sadly. JonBenet Ramsey, Anna Nicole Smith in the Bahamas back in the day. We all remember her.
Sure.
So anyone who was blonde and dead, I was like the radio Greta Van Susteren.
Wow.
Greta. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Nancy Grace. The radio Nancy Grace.
Right. And then I worked for Nancy Grace on the Casey Anthony trial.
Yeah. Holy
cow.
So
that was in Orlando. That was quite the era.
Well, you know,
I
was going to say that because we were talking about that the other day, and you mentioned that you had a couple of good Donald Trump stories that from before him becoming president, which I thought were fascinating, because now we're going to talk about the CPAC poll coming up here in a few minutes, where if you listen to the people at CPAC, he's the overwhelming favorite to run again in 2024. But long before he was president of the United States, when he was still running casinos, you had a couple of run-ins with him, right?
I did, you know, because I'm originally from New Jersey, and I was a reporter up there in New York City. So I used to cover the guy, you know, when he had his show The Apprentice, when he was involved with Miss America down in Atlantic City,
yeah.
When the Taj Mahal and all his casinos opened in AC, as we call it, for Atlantic City. And there's this one story, you know, the mainstream media makes this guy out to be, you know, the devil. But yet there's all these good stories. One that comes to mind where he, in between the Ivana era and pre-Marla Maples, he used to go down to Atlantic City in a limousine, about 120 miles from New York City, right? Limousine breaks down on the Garden State Parkway, and the tow guy comes to fix the tire. And Donald Trump gets he didn't have cash on him or whatever. And he takes the guy's phone number to give him a tip. Well,
yeah.
What's the tip, Mark? He pays off his house.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Just
true
like dropped
story.
However much we didn't have any idea how much it was. Do we know? He never talked about it, right?
No, it was never really discussed. This is kind of known in, you know, Jersey, New York City reporter circles.
Yeah.
And then one other story is that I met the guy just random. I was with a friend, some sales person friend of mine, and we went down to the Casbah, Rock the Casbah nightclub back in the day at the Taj Mahal. And lo and behold, we're there. I'm like in my 20s. And I turn around, and who's there but none other but Donald Trump and a whole posse of security.
Yeah.
And we remember the little disposable cameras?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I happened to have one in my purse, and we asked if we could take a picture. He was so nice. Meanwhile, the picture is missing. I cannot find it. My husband doesn't believe the story. And my friend who lives in Long Island, New York, she can't find hers either. So nobody believes us. But anyway, the point is that, and one last thing, 9/11 in the middle of the night when the pile was still smoldering in New York City at Ground Zero, he would come, Donald Trump himself, with deli platters. I saw it with my own eyes, and he fed workers from the Red Cross, volunteers, middle of the night, no cameras, no photography, but he cared. And so the mainstream media makes this guy out to be the devil, but that is definitely not the view of Robin Walensky.
Wow. Well, I mean, what a firsthand experience too, which I think is fantastic, because the media is never going to give him credit. And those were back in the days when you would also see pictures, Robin, of Donald Trump with the Clintons, with Pelosi, right? Because he had money and they all wanted it. And then, he became president and he didn't march in lockstep with what the establishment wanted. And then they turned their ire on him.
He used to donate to Democrats. So things were very rosy back in the day. But then once he decided to run for president, the big nugget for me, Mark, is that the swamp is very deep. And when you expose the swamp, they were very afraid of him. And I think in retrospect, when you think about the swamp, you think about the Clintons, he should have gotten rid of the FBI director from the get-go. What's his name? The tall guy, it's escaping me at the moment, Comey. And then this whole Clinton thing with the BlackBerry and the emails and all of that, the swamp is deep and there would have been a lot of revelations, to say the least. And of course, everything that was going on with and still is with Hunter Biden. So that's why people don't, on the left anyway, and the mainstream, don't want him to run again, because there's too many secrets that are buried deep in the swamp.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And of course, last night, for people just joining us right now, yesterday in the Senate, the Democrats passed this they call it an Inflation Reduction Act. I would call it a Economic Reduction Act, because that's basically what's going to happen. A few of the senators, the Republicans all voted against it. A few of them got up and tried to make amendments to it to focus on what most of those amendments got rejected. I understand, of course, because it didn't fit what they were trying to do. Here was Ted Cruz on the inflation bill last night. I thought this was a telling explanation of what just happened.
This bill represents the most significant assault on U.S. energy production the Senate has ever considered. It is designed to bankrupt every coal miner in America, to dramatically increase gas prices consumers are paying, and to permanently harm U.S. oil and gas production. There is, however, one group who the Senate Democrats do not oppose having more oil, and that is the Chinese communists. In the past year, President Biden has sold over 2 million barrels of oil to the Chinese communist government from America's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That oil was paid for by U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah, and Cruz tried to add an amendment that would prevent that moving forward, and of course it failed. To his point there, though, he was trying to point out what this bill really does. It's an attack on the energy you and I use every day to light our homes and power our air conditioners and all of this stuff. And they don't have an explanation for where we go next. They just want you to stop using fossil fuels.
This is all about control of the people. And we're going to wake up next week and we're going to be in Venezuela. I'm telling you, we're going to be locked down in our homes wearing a mask with no car, nowhere to go, no gas station, no electric car, nowhere to charge it. And, everyone's all worried about climate change. And, Mark, you and I were talking off air, everyone's focused on this climate change thing. And I, you know, you, what are we now? What is today? 8-8, August 8th, mid-August?
Yes, yes.
Think about where we were 21 years ago, almost, with 9-11 around the corner. I mean, anything can happen. We could have a terrorist attack before this next, God forbid, you know, this next election. We could have an October surprise. So, you know, I don't think it's all written in stone yet. Who's winning in November? Let's put it that way. I think that there's a lot of surprises that could happen between now and then.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. There's no doubt. Never overestimate the Republicans' ability to screw something up. That's a paraphrase of Barack Obama about Joe Biden. But it's the truth, particularly when you look at, like, you know, we're enthused by this CPAC poll that shows Donald Trump winning big if the election were held today over Ron DeSantis. I wonder what people think about that. I'll take your phone calls. 314-241-9797. If you had to vote today, would you vote for Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Now, this is a reflection of the people at the Conservative Political Action Conference. So it's the, you know, biggest conservative groups in the country go and attend this. I think Donald Trump wins that hands down, personally, in the country. What are your thoughts, Robin?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that if you and I went out to the bar tonight and we started to just talk to people randomly, they would be afraid to. It's like when someone calls your house, you know, with a survey and you just don't want to deal with it and tell the truth.
Yeah,
I think that people secretly, like in this conservatives at CPAC, you know, when you're around people that are like-minded, people really want Donald Trump and the, dare I say, the testicular fortitude of Donald Trump, but they're afraid to say it. And the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, Trump scares them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. That's the last thing they want. And I believe Ron DeSantis would be that kind of president. You know, I said last week, I wish our governor here in Missouri, and maybe you feel that way about Brian Kemp down in Georgia, I don't know. I wish he would do some of the things I see DeSantis doing, like removing this prosecutor who was Soros-backed, who doesn't do anything, who doesn't prosecute anyone. And when he said, I'm not going to enforce Florida's law on abortion restrictions, DeSantis fired him. He said, you have prosecutorial discretion. You don't have the ability to simply ignore laws because you don't like them.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people say that he's Trump light, you know, like Diet Coke. I think he's Trump heavy. I think that DeSantis is the best of Donald Trump in a younger version, right? I mean, you have Trump who's almost 80 years old. And what worries me is that in our country, you know this, Mark, we've had very wide swings, you know, with after the Bushes, nobody wanted McCain because he looked old and he didn't know how to use his BlackBerry. So people voted for Barack Obama because he was younger. And I think you're going to have that here after the old guy of Biden. Are we going to vote for another old guy, even though he's, you know, he's his mind is still working and his body is still working? Are we going to go for another senior citizen, or are we going to go for the young guy? My personal opinion is if the election were held today, DeSantis would have a really good chance, even though he wasn't at CPAC.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Robin Walensky joining us this morning. And, you know, here's the other thing. I saw this headline this weekend and I read it because it caught my attention, that Liz Cheney knows she's going to lose during their primary in about 8 days, but she hasn't given up on her larger goal. The suggestion is she's going to run for president. Yesterday, she was out arguing that the J6 committee should not be viewed through a political lens. Mm-hmm. And her primary goal seems to be to get Trump indicted by the DOJ so that he can't run again. What are they afraid of?
Exactly. They're afraid of the exposure of Hunter Biden and the big guy, the president,
yeah.
and the involvement with all these foreign countries and all the money. I mean, I read Miranda Devine's book, Laptop from Hell. And if you want to know how, you know, I'm not being paid to promote her book, but if you read the book, it explains literally all the background as to what we're seeing in the country and in the world and why the things that are happening are happening. It's all on the laptop.
Wow. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Which the FBI's had for 2 years and we haven't and won't admit it.
Exactly. And as for Liz Cheney. Doesn't she look constipated?
Yes. I thought
that
myself.
Face?
I know.
What is that face?
Here's a bite from her. Listen, hold on.
There's been a lot of speculation about how the committee is or isn't making an impact with the American people, especially when it comes to this question of whether Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee and eventually potentially president of the United States again. Do you think the committee's work is moving the needle politically?
I don't. Again, I don't think about it that way. I think about it more because I think it's important that the committee's work not be viewed through a political lens.
How could those words come out of your mouth knowing that it's a political setup? There's not a single Republican appointed to this committee.
She's the ultimate rhino, Republican in name only. And you know how you know, Mark, that things are bad? They trotted out Daddy to do a commercial for her.
Yes.
Did you see that?
I played it last week. Yeah.
Oh, God. He looks terrible, too. I mean, by the way, Real Clear Politics, if you look it up on the website, she's behind the other candidate 22 points and falling by the second.
Yeah. I saw one that suggested she was down 28 points at one point. And when I went to the Eric Greitens watch party the other night, I met a guy who has been working with some of these candidates around the country. One of the ones he's working with is Harriet Hageman, who's running out there in Wyoming. And he's like, she's fantastic and she's just crushing it. And her internals show her up far more than these public polls do. So it's going to be interesting to see just how much they bury her in Wyoming. CNN had a shock poll the other day. They sent a reporter to the state fair out there. And they talked to 40 people trying to find somebody to criticize her, to support her, and they only found two people. Out of everybody they talked to, they found two people who claimed that they were Liz Cheney supporters.
It's all about, I'm telling you, it's all about that look on her face. It's all about that look.
People will not vote for you if you're constipated.
Exactly. You can't look like that and be on TV and expect people to like you.
I think that's it. Exactly. Well, Robin, we're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to talk to Dr. Renata Moon. She is a pediatrician, and she's getting ready to speak at a conference that's coming up at the end of this month that you can attend. It's right here in St. Louis, and you can sign up and go to these meetings they're going to hold with medical doctors talking about, guess what, vaccines. Specifically, Dr. Moon is going to be talking about vaccines and children. And I'm going to let her tell you about it in her own words and tell you how you can sign up for that conference when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. Next hour, our friend Jesse Jane Duff is going to join us. And Robin, if you've never met her, hold on, because it's always a fun ride. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Glad you're back with us. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff at the top of the hour. I want to get her thoughts on the Donald Trump speech at CPAC over the weekend, in case you missed it. For all I know, she was there. I don't know. We'll get her thoughts on that. And then we got Tom Ackerman next hour, about 8:35, talking about the sweep of the New York Yankees. Doesn't it sound great to say that? A sweep of the New York Yankees. Robin Walensky along with us this morning. Appreciate having her here. But right now, I want to get to my guest. If you're a parent, I know you've thought about this because they've been pushing these vaccines, COVID vaccines, on your children. Now it's school time, so you're used to having to go to the doctor, and you got to wonder what pediatricians out there are saying to parents as their kids get ready to head back to school. There's a conference coming up August 25th to the 27th, and on that Saturday it is open to the public, and they're going to be talking about a lot of these different issues, right? Medicine, COVID, long haul COVID, all of that. And they're also going to be focusing on what's happening with our children. And I want to introduce Dr. Renata Moon right now, who is a pediatric hospitalist, and it's great to have her on this morning with us. Dr. Moon, welcome in.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. Tell me a little bit about what you're going to be discussing at this conference.
Well, the conference is aimed at exploring what is happening in terms of medical freedom across our country. So we'll be looking at adult issues, pediatric issues, and things happening within the military.
Wow. And when it comes to our children these days, as a pediatrician, what kind of concerns are you hearing from parents?
We have so many parents coming into the office that are very concerned about the safety of the COVID-19 injections. And unfortunately, many of my colleagues have been silenced, and we've been threatened, honestly, for even having those discussions. And so one big part of what we want to discuss that weekend is our medical freedom, our ability to have a conversation and, you know, to logically discuss what's happening and understand why this is happening.
Yeah.
Dr. Moon, this is Robin. Let me ask you a quick question. Are you of the belief that most of these children have natural immunity because they've been exposed already and that the shot is really unnecessary? What are your thoughts?
I like to follow the science, I think, like most of my colleagues do, and the showing us that over 75% of kids have already had this infection. We also know that the vast majority of kids are absolutely fine to catch this infection. As you know, it's a terrible infection for some adults. No one is discounting that. But thankfully, our kids have been spared. And so your otherwise healthy child has, you know, essentially a 0% chance of having a terrible outcome from this illness. And so
why do we
really be careful.
Why are we so afraid in this country to use the two words natural immunity?
That's a great question, right? So why is that? We use that term for pretty much every infection out there. And with it's been banned in a way, right? We've lost our freedom of speech and our ability to have a discussion.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, these are I'm sure there are parents who are only getting one side of this, right, from their pediatricians. I don't know about your practice. I know that in the greater St. Louis area, a lot of doctor's offices are tied to one of the big medical facilities here, either Barnes Jewish or maybe SSM. Their method of treating this and their advice on it is coming from the top of those organizations. Many of them don't have a voice to, or they're not willing to fight back against that. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, as a community of physicians, we all became employed by big healthcare networks and big entities. And so we do have, you know, we have a conflict of interest it used to be taking care of the patient just in front of you and making sure that you provided the best possible care for that patient. And now, unfortunately, you have your employer sort of, you know, in the room with you and these regulatory agencies in the room with you, giving you pressure and putting pressure on you to say some things that may or may not make sense for that individual patient. So we really need to all come to the table and have a dialogue about our medical freedom back. And what does that mean? you know. Yeah. So I'd love to invite other physicians in the area to please come join us. You know, we would love to hear from those with differing opinions. This is not about all having one thought and one idea. This is about bringing back that idea to medicine, which is that we all need to have a dialogue, and it's time to stop, you know, banning and censoring people with differing opinions.
That's a great point. Dr. Renata Moon, our guest, a pediatric hospitalist, and she's going to be attending and speaking at the Gateway to Medical Freedom Conference. It's coming up the 25th to the 27th here in St. Louis. They're going to have leaders from around the country talking about these different issues around the country. It's going to be open to the public. Now, I think on Thursday, it's going to focus on the speakers and the professionals. On Friday, it's going to be open to the public, where you can go and hear a lot of these conversations that, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, Dr. Moon, but I remember seeing the physician standing in front of the Supreme Court holding a news conference, and they were run through the mud by the mainstream media in this country when they started talking about alternative treatments for COVID, the frontline doctors. Is that pressure still the same today as it was then, if you speak out?
Yes, absolutely. We have thousands upon thousands of colleagues that are joining us. And, you know, every one of us worked very hard for our medical degrees. The last thing we want to do is to just throw that away. And so for us to all be speaking out like this, it's because we know that what is happening is very wrong. We have lost our academic and, we've lost freedom all around, right? We all see that in our world. We're not able to speak. And that's true in the medical world as well. These physicians are risking our careers and our licenses by speaking out. And by having a dialogue, looking at the science, looking at the evidence, looking at what makes sense. And we're doing that because it's the right thing to do. And, I am really proud of my colleagues for doing this. And I would hope that the public would come out and listen and take part in that dialogue.
But doctor, let me ask you this. Have you seen vax-injured children in your practice?
I have friends with and direct knowledge of vaccine injured children. Yes. With inflammation to the heart, with myocarditis, I'm seeing it in numbers that I shouldn't be seeing. I can tell you that I have practiced for over 20 years. I've been around when other vaccines were pulled from the market with much fewer safety signals alarming than what we've seen with this current injection. And yes, our safety signals are alarming like crazy. We've been told to be quiet, told not to talk about it. And, you know, frankly, your physicians have been silenced and threatened. And that is just, it's not right. It's not American, and it's absolutely not in the best interest of our nation's children. So it's time to have a conversation.
Well said. Dr. Renata Absolutely. Moon, thank you so much for giving us some time this morning, and thanks for taking part in this important conference.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You bet. We'll talk again, I hope. And again, that conference is coming up the 25th to the 27th. You can get more details online. Just go to gatewaytofreedom.online. That's gateway, the numeral 2, freedom.online. And we'll put this up on the website as well. You can click on getting tickets up there. It's going to be over at the Gateway Conference Center in Collinsville, Illinois, and open to the public again on Friday and I think Saturday, but it starts on Thursday. The medical professionals will be up there holding their own conference on Thursday. Then they're going to get underway for Friday and Saturday. Robin, I don't know. I appreciate people like Dr. Moon who are willing to step out front and say, yes, I've seen vaccine injuries. Why don't these big hospital systems want me to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, she's very honest. And, you know, on Twitter, there's all these, in Facebook, there are all these groups about vaccine injured adults. So that's why I asked her about the kids. if you have natural, you know, I am not against medicine. I'm very pro medicine, Mark, but why would you take a shot for anything if you already have natural immunity to that thing? That's the part that's extremely confusing.
Yeah. And again, it just doesn't seem to be part of the conversation. You have to wonder what you're hearing in the majority of these offices run by big medicine, right? Big
absolutely.
Medical companies and hospital systems. Anyway, the details will be up on 971talk.com/Cox. You can find out more about it up there. We're going to get to a quick break here. I got Jesse Jane Duff coming up at the top of the hour, and then Tom Ackerman, the KMOX sports director, about 8:35, talk about the Cards and the Yankees. What say you? Are you worried about the vaccine? Are you going to get the vaccine? Would you let your kids take it? We'll get to your phone calls. 314-241-9797. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. We'll be right back. Time and time again. We're back. Robin Walensky joining us this morning as well. And, you know, Robin, I noticed this Economic Reduction Act, they call it the Inflation Reduction Act, is aimed at improving the climate. And really, that's really all they're after here is they're trying to save you and me, and we're just too stubborn to realize that.
Mm-hmm. How sick are you of hearing the words climate change?
Oh, completely. Just right? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's out of control. And you know what's so scary about it? It's like shiny keys. But, you know, you shake keys in front of a kid. Look over here. Look over here. They want you to be laser beam on this climate change when the whole world and the whole country is literally falling apart.
Well, I would ask if you've paid any attention to the Dutch farmers' plight right now. Where
No.
Well, because of the ridiculous belief that somehow too much agriculture is contributing to climate change, they have decided to basically take about 30% of their land away from the farmers so they can't farm it. They're cutting down on, I guess, flatulence from cows or
the cows. Oh,
something,
yeah.
Right? So there's a guy named Mark Morano who runs the climatedepot.com is his website. He was on yesterday on Fox, and I thought what he had to say was pretty interesting on these food restrictions that they're trying to put in place and as why. Now, some people can claim this is a conspiracy theory, but listen to what the man says.
This is coming out of these climate goals. They're going after modern chemical fertilizers, which have produced massive high-yield agriculture, which has fed the world for decades. It was the agricultural revolution that we should be proud of. But instead, they're turning the clock back, and they're claiming a climate crisis where none exists, and they're now going after our food supply.
Yeah. You see the food shortages on the shelf. You wonder why we're paying people not to produce food. Then you find out that the Chinese and Bill Gates are the single biggest owners of farmland in the United States.
You talk about a master plan. I was at a public supermarket yesterday, $7.19 for a box of eggs. You know what my husband's solution to this problem is?
Chickens.
He went out and we need chickens, right? But we did an experiment. We went to like a plant place and we bought three tomato plants just for the heck of it, and we grew them. And I didn't think we were going to yield any tomatoes, but I could send you some pictures. We have not had to buy one tomato here at Casa Walensky all summer.
Smart.
Because our plant is growing wild.
Well,
I think that's the future.
Mark Morano made another good point along those lines. Listen to this.
As the old Chinese proverb says, when food is on the table, there are many problems. When there's no food, there's only one problem.
Yeah. It's true.
That's what absolutely. That is true.
it's very true. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Jesse Jane Duff. She's a retired Marine Corps gunnery sergeant, and I'm anxious to hear what she has to say about Donald Trump's speech at CPAC down in Dallas this weekend. And how about those Cardinals? A sweep of the Yankees for the first time ever. We'll talk to Tom Ackerman, sports director down the hall here at KMOX at about 8:35.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.